There's a strange truth most people don't want to accept. The loud ones aren't always the strongest. The ones who announce everything they do aren't always the ones who win. And the people who move quietly often end up further than anyone expected. If you've ever felt the urge to explain yourself, to prove your progress, to show the world that you're doing something with your life, pause for a moment. That urge is not ambition. It's insecurity dressed up as motivation. Real growth doesn't ask for applause, it asks for patience. Stoicism has always been clear about this. Power doesn't come from noise, it comes from control. Control of your actions, control of your reactions, control of where your energy goes when no one is watching. Because the truth is, the most important work you'll ever do in your life will happen in private. When you focus on yourself in silence, something interesting happens. You stop wasting energy on opinions you can't control. You stop chasing validation that never truly satisfies. You stop performing. And in that quiet space, discipline begins to grow. Not the flashy kind, the real kind. The kind that shows up every day whether you feel inspired or not. Working hard in silence isn't about hiding. It's about protecting your focus. It's about giving your goals room to breathe without being crushed by expectations, comparisons, or outside pressure. When you move quietly, you move freely. You make better decisions. You recover faster. You build something solid instead of something impressive. Most people want results fast. Stoicism teaches you to want results that last, and results that last are built slowly, patiently, consistently, far away from noise. So if you're tired of explaining yourself, if you're tired of feeling distracted by other people's opinions, if you're tired of confusing attention with progress, this episode is for you. We're going to talk about what it really means to focus on yourself, to work hard without announcing it, and to build a life that speaks for you, without you saying a word. And it starts with understanding why silence itself is strength. 1. The strength of silence. Why quiet hustle wins the race. Let me ask you something real. Why do you feel a pull to talk about what you're doing before it's done? Why does it feel so tempting to post the plan, to hint at the goal, to let people know you're working on something? On the surface, it looks like confidence, but most of the time it's the opposite. It's a craving for relief. You want the world to give you a little approval now because you're not sure you'll still have the strength to carry it later. And this is exactly where silence becomes more than a personality trait. Silence becomes protection. It becomes strategy. It becomes discipline. The Stoics didn't believe in loud strength. They believed in stable strength. Epictetus would tell you that a person's real power is not in what they claim, but in what they can do without being shaken. He wasn't impressed by speeches. He was impressed by control. Control over the tongue. Control over the ego. Control over the urge to seek comfort through attention. Because attention can be a drug. It gives you a quick hit of, "I'm on the right path," without the uncomfortable work of actually staying on the path. Silence cuts that addiction at the root. And here's what happens when you work quietly. You stop leaking your energy. You stop spending mental effort on how people will react. You stop managing expectations. You stop performing progress. You take the pressure off the outcome and put it back where it belongs, on the process. Think of it like this. Imagine you're trying to build muscle. If you spent your workout talking about the workout, filming the workout, explaining the workout, checking the mirror between sets, you'd still move, but not as cleanly, not as deeply, not as powerfully. Silence is the version of your life where you just lift, you just do the reps. You don't need the audience to validate the effort. And in the long run, that wins. Marcus Aurelius wrote his thoughts to himself, not to impress Rome, not to build a following, not to prove he was wise. He used writing as a private practice, like mental training, That's important, because it shows you something. The strongest people in history didn't need constant witnesses to their growth. Their work was mostly invisible, their discipline was private, their progress was quiet. And that's why quiet hustle wins the race, because it's sustainable. Noise burns energy, silence stores it. When you tell people your plans too early, you create an extra layer of pressure. Now you're not only fighting your own resistance, you're fighting their expectations, their opinions, their doubts, their jokes, their comparisons. Even if they support you, you still feel watched. And when you feel watched, you don't move freely. You start editing yourself. You start making decisions based on how it will look, not how it will build. Silence removes the watchers. In silence, you can fail without shame. You can adjust without explanation. You can take two steps back and nobody turns it into a story. You can grow at your natural pace. And that pace, when it's consistent, becomes unstoppable. There's also something deeper here. Silence builds inner confidence because it forces you to rely on yourself. If nobody knows what you're doing, you don't have external fuel. You can't live off compliments. You can't live off likes. You have to develop a different kind of energy, self-respect. And self-respect is the most stable fuel on earth. It doesn't depend on the mood of other people. That's why the Stoics respected quiet strength. They saw it as maturity. A man who can hold his mission privately is a man who isn't controlled by approval. Now, I want you to notice something in your own life. The people who talk the most about what they're going to do often do the least. Not because they're bad people, because talking becomes a substitute for doing. The brain gets a reward for identity even when the action isn't there yet. You feel like the person you want to be just by announcing it. Then the hard work comes and the excitement is already spent. Silence prevents that leak. It keeps the reward tied to the action. So here's a simple way to practice this, starting today. Then for this point, if you feel the urge to announce your next move, then don't. Write it down privately, keep it between you and your own standards, and put that saved energy into one concrete action within the next 24 hours. One action that proves you're serious. And here's the question I want you to sit with before we move on. What would change in your life if you stopped trying to be seen and started trying to be solid? 2. The discipline of private growth. Improve yourself, not your image. Have you noticed how easy it is to confuse progress with appearance? Like, you can look busy and still not be building anything real. You can sound wise and still avoid the work. You can post motivation and still feel lost when the phone goes quiet. And the scary part is, the world will often reward the image before it rewards the substance. People will clap for the announcement, for the aesthetic, for the identity, long before they clap for the results. Stoicism teaches you to be suspicious of that, not in a paranoid way, in a mature way, because the moment you start living for your image, you stop living for your character. You stop asking, am I actually getting better? And you start asking, do people think I'm getting better? And that shift is where a lot of men lose years. Private growth is discipline because it's not fueled by attention. It's fueled by standards. Epictetus had this hard clarity about it. You can't pretend your way into virtue. You can't talk your way into strength. You have to practice it. Quietly, repeatedly, and the practice happens in the moments nobody sees. The moment you're tempted to lie and you don't. The moment you're tempted to react and you pause. The moment you want to quit and you still do the rep. The moment you're alone with your thoughts and you choose the healthier one. That's real improvement, and it's almost always invisible. But the modern world trains the opposite instinct. It trains you to broadcast. It trains you to curate. It trains you to turn your life into a presentation. And once your life becomes a presentation, you start making choices that protect the presentation. You avoid beginner moments because they look weak. You avoid failure because it looks embarrassing. You avoid long, quiet seasons because nobody can see them. And that kills mastery. Because mastery requires being willing to look unimpressive for a while. There's a reason the Stoics talked about fame like it was smoke. Marcus Aurelius would remind himself that applause is temporary and that the people cheering today will forget you tomorrow. Not because he hated people, but because he understood the nature of attention. It's unstable. If you build your identity on something unstable, you will feel unstable. So the discipline of private growth is a decision. I will become stronger, even if nobody notices yet. And that decision changes how you work. You stop choosing habits that make you look productive, and you start choosing habits that actually produce results. You stop focusing on what's impressive and start focusing on what's effective. Let me give you a simple example. Two men want to get in shape. One man buys all the gear, posts the new routine, talks about the transformation. The other man doesn't say much. He sleeps earlier. He eats simpler. He lifts consistently. He walks daily. 3 months later, one man has content. The other man has a different body. That difference isn't genetics, it's discipline. And discipline isn't loud. Discipline is repetitive. It's almost boring. It's you doing the same right thing on days where it doesn't feel special. It's you choosing long-term respect over short-term hype. Private growth also protects you from something many men don't realize they're suffering from: emotional contamination. When you tell everyone your plans, you let their emotions into your mind. One person doubts you, and now you're fighting their doubt. One person praises you, and now you're chasing that praise. One person compares you, and now you're measuring yourself against their timeline. All of that steals clarity, and clarity is what you need to build. So when you grow privately, your mind stays cleaner. Your focus stays sharper. You stop negotiating your future with other people's opinions. You don't have to defend your path. You just walk it. Now, I want to make this practical in a way you can actually apply today. Ask yourself, what am I doing mainly to be seen? And what am I doing to become better? It's a hard question, but it's a liberating one, because once you see the difference, you can stop wasting time on performance and start investing time in progress. If, then for this point, if you catch yourself chasing the image, posting the plan, seeking validation, trying to look like the future you, then pause and do one private rep instead. One action that improves the real you. Read for 10 minutes. Train for 20 minutes. Write one page. Clean your environment. Practice your craft. Something that builds substance. And let me leave you with a question that's simple but sharp. If nobody ever praised your progress, would you still choose to become great? 3. The power of consistency. Small actions, big impact. Let's be honest for a second. Most men don't fail because they're not capable. They fail because they can't stay with something long enough for it to start paying them back. They start with intensity, and then life gets boring, or hard, or quiet. And the commitment disappears. Not because they don't want it, but because they're chasing a feeling instead of building a system. Consistency is the part nobody romanticizes. It doesn't give you a dramatic story. It doesn't make you look exciting. It's not viral. It's just you showing up again and again and again. And that's why it's powerful. Because it's rare. The Stoics would call this endurance, but not the loud kind. Not the kind that screams, "Look how tough I am." The calm kind. The kind that says, "This is my job today, whether I feel like it or not." Marcus Aurelius had an entire empire on his shoulders, yet he kept returning to the same grounded discipline. Do what needs to be done and stop begging life to feel easier before you act. That's what consistency is. Acting without needing the perfect mood. And here's the secret. Most people don't notice until later. Small actions don't stay small. They compound, they stack, they build identity. And identity is what changes your life. Because when you do something once, it's an event. When you do it repeatedly, it becomes who you are. You don't become disciplined by having one disciplined day. You become disciplined when discipline becomes normal. You don't become confident by one brave moment. You become confident when bravery becomes your default response. You don't become focused by one productive night. You become focused when focus becomes routine. This is why consistency feels boring to the ego. The ego wants dramatic evidence. The ego wants overnight change. The ego wants a story it can tell. Consistency doesn't give you that. It gives you something better. Results that are undeniable. And working in silence makes consistency easier, because silence removes the emotional distractions. No pressure to impress, no pressure to perform, no pressure to prove you're improving. You just do the reps, quietly. Think about how this works in real life. If you read 10 pages a day, it doesn't feel like much. But in a year, you've read a lot of books. Your thinking changes, your vocabulary changes. Your standards change. If you train your body for 20 minutes a day, it doesn't feel like much. But in a year, you're a different man physically. Your energy changes, your posture changes, your mood changes. If you practice a skill for 30 minutes a day, it doesn't feel like much. But in a year, you're valuable in a way most people can't copy. That's leverage. The impact is big because the action is repeated, not because the action is heroic. This is also why consistency is the cure for self-doubt. Self-doubt isn't always psychological. Sometimes it's just a lack of evidence. When you don't show up consistently, your mind has no proof you can trust yourself. So it becomes anxious, it becomes skeptical, it starts asking, "Are we really serious?" But when you show up daily, even in small ways, you build trust with yourself. And self-trust is one of the deepest forms of confidence. The Stoics would say, keep your promises to yourself. Not because it's cute. Because a man who breaks promises to himself becomes divided. He stops believing his own intentions. But a man who keeps small promises becomes whole. He becomes reliable. He becomes steady. And steady is hard to break. Now, let's talk about the real enemy of consistency. It's not laziness. It's the all-or-nothing mindset. Men quit because they miss one day and they turn it into a story. I ruined it. I'm not that guy. That's ego. That's perfectionism. That's emotional thinking. Consistency isn't perfection. Consistency is returning. You miss a day? Fine. You return the next day. No drama. No shame, just return. That return is the entire game. If, then, for this point, if you feel overwhelmed by the size of your goal, then shrink the action until it becomes impossible to avoid. Make it so small you can do it even on your worst day. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, one page, one set, one paragraph. Then do it daily. That daily repetition will quietly rebuild your life. And here's the question I want you to answer for yourself, honestly. What's one small habit you could do every day, without anyone knowing, that would make you unstoppable in 1 year? 4. Mastering emotional independence. Let go of validation. Let me put a mirror in front of you for a second. How many of your decisions are secretly negotiations with other people's approval? Not in an obvious way, not like you're begging, more subtle than that. You hesitate to start because you're afraid of looking foolish. You overthink what to say because you want to be understood. You push yourself too hard because you want people to notice. You get angry because you feel disrespected. You feel low because someone didn't respond the way you hoped. That's not weakness. That's being human. But if you never master it, it becomes a leash. And the Stoics were ruthless about one thing. Freedom starts when your emotions stop depending on other people's reactions. Emotional independence doesn't mean you don't care about anyone. It means your inner stability isn't for sale. It means you can love people, respect people, even listen to feedback, without handing them the keys to your mood. Because the truth is, validation is a hungry thing. It's never satisfied for long. Even when you get it, it fades fast. A compliment feels good for a minute, then your mind asks for another one. A like gives you a quick hit, then you need the next hit. Someone praises you, and then you start performing to keep that praise coming. It turns you into a worker for other people's emotions, and the price you pay is your peace. Epictetus would say something that cuts through all of this. If you allow what others think to control you, you've chosen slavery. Not because people are evil, but because you made their opinion the source of your stability. And any stability that comes from outside, you can be taken away tomorrow. So the work here is simple to explain, but not always easy to live. Build your own inner approval. That starts with one shift. Stop asking, "Do they like me?" and start asking, "Do I respect myself in this moment?" Because self-respect is not a vibe, it's a behavior. It's what you do when nobody is clapping. Here's what emotional dependence looks like in daily life. You say yes when you mean no, because you don't want conflict. You explain yourself too much, because you want to be understood. You share your plans early, because you want encouragement. You react quickly, because you want to defend your image. You chase people who give you mixed signals, because you want to win their attention. Notice how all of that is outside your control. You're building your inner world on unstable ground, and then you wonder why you feel anxious. Emotional independence is you cutting that pattern. It's you learning to be steady, even when you're misunderstood. It's you staying respectful, even when you're provoked. It's you moving forward, even when nobody is cheering. It's you being okay with being disliked for doing what's right. And that's where silence becomes a superpower again. When you work hard in silence, you stop living for the audience. You stop needing the scoreboard. You stop letting people's reactions decide whether you're doing well. You build a private relationship with your own standards. That's the strongest relationship you can have, because it doesn't disappear when people leave. Marcus Aurelius had a line of thinking that keeps a man grounded. People will think what they think. You can't edit their minds. You can only edit your actions. So put your energy where it actually has power. And what he meant, again and again, is don't make your mind a public place. Keep it clean. Keep it steady. Don't let every opinion walk in and rearrange your furniture. Now, let's be practical, because I want you to feel how this changes your day. The moment you catch yourself craving validation, wanting someone to notice, wanting someone to approve, wanting someone to get it, pause and ask, what am I really trying to soothe? Sometimes the craving is not about them at all. It's about you. It's about uncertainty. It's about fear. It's about needing reassurance, because you're not fully trusting your own path yet. So instead of chasing validation, you build evidence. Evidence is the cure. You want to feel confident? Do something hard and keep your word. You want to feel respected? Respect yourself first, in small choices. You want to feel secure? Build a skill that makes you valuable. You want to feel calm? Practice not reacting to bait. Over time, you stop needing external approval, because you start carrying internal proof. If then for this point, if you feel your mood rise and fall based on how people respond to you, then pause and return to your control. Ask, what is one action I can take right now that I would respect myself for, even if nobody ever knows? Then do that action quietly. That's how you train emotional independence. And here's the question that tells you exactly where you are on this path. If nobody clapped for you for the next 6 months, would you still show up? 5. Let your results speak. The art of unspoken greatness. Have you ever met someone who didn't talk much, but you could feel the weight of them? Not because they were intimidating, not because they were trying to dominate the room. More like they had gravity, a calm certainty, They didn't need to sell you on who they were. You just sensed it. That's unspoken greatness. And it's rare today because most people feel pressured to market themselves every second, to explain, to justify, to show, to post, to build a story in public while the real work is still unfinished in private. Stoicism would call that backwards. The Stoic move is simpler. Live in a way that doesn't require a speech. Let your actions carry your identity. Let your results be your introduction. Because words are cheap. Even your own words can become a trap. When you talk too much about what you're going to do, your mind starts treating the talking like progress. You get a little emotional reward for the identity, and then you're less hungry for the work. This is why some men stay stuck in potential. They keep narrating a future version of themselves instead of building it. Results don't need narration. Results don't need proof. They stand there quietly and force the world to adjust. Now, to be clear, let your results speak doesn't mean you never communicate. It means you stop using communication as a substitute for character. It means you stop trying to convince people you're strong and you just become strong. You stop trying to convince people you're disciplined and you just become disciplined. You stop trying to convince people you're valuable and you build value. That's where the art comes in, because it takes maturity to be misunderstood for a while. It takes patience to not correct every assumption people make about you. It takes control to not jump into every conversation that threatens your image. And this is one of the most stoic things you can practice, not defending yourself unnecessarily. Marcus Aurelius would remind himself that if you are doing the right thing, you don't need to argue about it. Time will reveal it. And if you're not doing the right thing, no speech will save you anyway. That is an uncomfortable truth. But it's also freeing. It means your energy belongs in action, not in endless explanation. A lot of men waste years trying to be seen as competent, seen as respectable, seen as successful. But being seen is not the same as being. You can be seen and still be empty. You can be praised and still be unstable. You can be admired and still be fragile. Unspoken greatness is different. It's rooted. It's quiet. It doesn't beg. And here's the hidden reason it's so powerful. When you let your results speak, you remove the emotional roller coaster of other people's reactions. You stop needing them to understand you today. You stop needing them to approve. You stop needing them to be fair. You keep building. That creates a kind of calm momentum most people don't have, because most people are constantly interrupted by their own need to be recognized. And in silence, you gain an advantage. You can grow without resistance. You can improve without being challenged by people who are uncomfortable with your change. You can make mistakes without an audience turning it into a label. You can adjust without announcing, "I'm adjusting." That freedom makes you faster. Now, I want to give you a real historical picture of this because it makes it concrete. Think of Miyamoto Musashi, 17th century Japan, known not for speeches, but for mastery. He wasn't a man who built his name through explaining. He built it through skill under pressure. And when he wrote the Book of Five Rings, he wasn't selling motivation. He was describing reality. Results come from consistent practice, from calm observation, from training that happens when nobody is watching. One of the clearest lessons in that tradition is simple. Don't announce your moves. Execute them. Let the outcome speak. Whether you admire Musashi or not, the point is timeless. A man's real voice is his life. So what does the art of unspoken greatness look like tomorrow? It looks like reducing announcement and increasing execution. It looks like being less available for arguments and more available for practice. It looks like not trying to win social moments and instead winning the private moments that build your future. If, then for this point, if you feel the urge to explain yourself, to defend your path, to show people you're improving, then pause and ask, would a result need to say this? Then go do one quiet rep. something measurable, something real, so you don't have to talk about who you are. You can just be it. And here's the question to hold as you move through your day. What part of your life would get stronger immediately if you stopped talking about it and started letting the results do the talking? 6. The hidden advantage. Why silent success is more powerful. There's a quiet advantage you only discover once you've been burned by noise a few times. It's the advantage of not being part of the conversation. Not because you're afraid, not because you're hiding, but because you've realized something most people miss. The loud path invites interference. The quiet path invites momentum. When you move silently, you don't trigger as much resistance. People don't project their insecurities onto you as quickly. They don't feel the need to compete with you. They don't start measuring themselves against you before you've even built anything. And if you've ever had a season where you announced a goal and suddenly felt a weird wave of pressure, doubt, or distraction, you already understand this. Noise doesn't just attract support. It attracts friction. Stoicism would say that friction is part of life, but unnecessary friction is self-inflicted. Epictetus had this clean idea. Focus on what is yours, your judgments, your choices, your actions. The moment you turn your growth into public theatre, you start handing pieces of your mind to the crowd. Their reactions become whether you have to deal with. Even positive reactions can mess you up. Because now you're protecting an image. You're working to maintain a version of yourself instead of building the real thing. Silent success is more powerful because it keeps your energy intact. It keeps your attention from getting stolen by performance. And attention is the most expensive currency you have. Every time you check whether people noticed, every time you wonder what they think, every time you replay a comment in your head, you're spending attention on something that doesn't build your life. It feels small in the moment, but it adds up into years. There's also a deeper layer. Quiet success doesn't just protect your focus, it protects your psychology. When you're loud about your path, you start living in the future. You start acting like the finished version of you is already here. And now you feel pressure to keep up with your own announcement. But when you move quietly, you give yourself permission to be in the messy middle. You can learn without shame. You can adjust without having to explain the adjustment. You can change your mind without being accused of inconsistency. That freedom is not a luxury. It's a strategic advantage. Here's the real test, and I want you to feel it personally. How often do you delay your real work because you're managing how it will look? Not because you're fake, because you're human. But once you see it, you can't unsee it. A lot of men aren't tired from the work. They're tired from the emotional management around the work, how it's perceived, how it's judged, how it compares. That's why silent success hits harder. It arrives without warning. It's like training for months, and then one day someone sees you and they pause for a second. They can't explain it, but they feel it. Your posture changed. Your eyes look calmer. Your voice sounds steadier. You're not trying to convince anyone, and that's exactly why it convinces them. The proof is in the presence. Marcus Aurelius had a simple way of shrinking the need for external approval. He reminded himself how quickly everything passes. Praise, criticism, reputation, even the people doing the praising. The point isn't to be cynical. The point is to be free. When you truly absorb that, you stop chasing the temporary and you start building the lasting. You start valuing the kind of success that remains even when nobody's watching. Let me bring in a real example that shows this advantage in action. Think about Rosa Parks in Montgomery, Alabama, in the mid-1950s. People sometimes tell that story like it was a spontaneous moment. But the deeper truth is that she had years of quiet preparation behind her. Community work, training, discipline, and a clear inner line she refused to cross. When the moment came, her power wasn't loud. It was steady. And that steadiness moved history. Quiet strength doesn't need constant announcing. It needs readiness. So here's a question to hold right in the middle of this point, because it exposes everything. If nobody could ever see your progress for the next 60 days, would your daily effort go up or go down? That question isn't meant to shame you. It's meant to reveal what's fueling you. If the answer is it would go down, then part of your drive is borrowed from attention, and borrowed drive always comes with a cost. But if the answer is it would go up, that means you're building self-reliance, the kind of power that doesn't collapse when the room goes quiet. This is also why silent success is harder to attack. People can argue with words, they can mock plans, they can doubt intentions, but they can't debate results. They can't negotiate with your discipline. They can't cancel your consistency. When your life becomes the evidence, the noise loses leverage. So make it practical, starting tonight and tomorrow. If, then for this point, if you feel the urge to announce your next move, to hint at it, to seek a little external fuel, then keep it private and convert that urge into one measurable action within the next 24 hours. One workout. One focused work block. One page written. One skill rep. Let the action be the only announcement. Because the hidden advantage isn't secrecy for its own sake. It's purity of focus. It's forward motion without friction. It's building something so real that it speaks even when you say nothing. And when your success finally arrives, it won't need to shout. It will just stand there, quiet, heavy, undeniable. 7. The legacy of quiet mastery, success without seeking attention. Let me say something that sounds simple, but it hits hard once you really see it. A lot of people don't actually want success. They want attention that looks like success. They want the feeling of being noticed, of being admired, of being that guy. And because attention is quick, they chase it like it's the same thing as mastery. But mastery is slow. Mastery is private. Mastery doesn't care if anyone is clapping. Quiet mastery is what happens when you keep improving, even when the spotlight disappears. When you keep practicing the fundamentals after the excitement fades. When you care more about being solid than being celebrated. And that kind of success, success without seeking attention, creates a legacy that's heavier than trends. The Stoics would tell you that what's under your control is the only thing worth building your life around. Reputation is not fully under your control. Attention isn't under your control. Other people's interpretations definitely aren't under your control. But your craft is. Your habits are. Your character is. Your patience is. And the more you invest in what you control, the less you need what you can't control. This is where a lot of men get stuck. They make life a performance, and performance demands constant energy. You have to keep feeding the image. You have to keep posting, updating, explaining, and even if it works for a while, you become trapped in it. Because the moment you stop feeding the performance, you feel invisible, and invisibility feels like death to the ego. Quiet mastery is the opposite. Quiet mastery trains you to be okay with invisibility, not because you hate people, but because you refuse to let visibility be your emotional oxygen. There's a Japanese idea that fits here perfectly, the craftsman mindset, the man who sharpens his blade every day, not for applause, but because the blade should be sharp. That's it. No drama, no ego, just devotion to the craft. Miyamoto Musashi is a good example of this, not because he was perfect, but because he lived like a man who understood that skill is louder than speech. In 17th century Japan, he became known through real encounters, not through reputation games. And later, when he wrote the Book of Five Rings, he wasn't trying to sound wise. He was teaching a reality. Mastery is built through repeated training, calm observation, and the ability to remain centered when everything is on the line. That's quiet mastery, staying centered while others panic. Now here's the part that matters for your life, because you're not fighting duels, you're fighting distraction, insecurity and inconsistency. Quiet mastery is you choosing to practice what most people skip. It's you becoming obsessed with the basics: sleep, training, focus, work blocks, learning, self-control, emotional discipline, repetition. Most people chase hacks. The quiet master builds foundations, and foundations don't look impressive while you're building them, but they hold everything. This is also why quiet mastery creates a different kind of confidence. When you have mastery, real mastery, you don't need to dominate conversations. You don't need to prove. You don't need to argue. You don't need to flex. You move with less noise because you're not trying to convince anyone. You already know what you can do, and that inner knowing is priceless. It's not arrogance, it's stability. There's a story I love because it shows how quiet mastery leaves a mark without chasing applause. Johann Sebastian Bach in 18th century Germany wasn't famous in the modern celebrity sense while he was alive. He was respected in certain circles, sure, but he wasn't chasing public attention the way modern culture pushes people to do. He was obsessed with craft. He wrote, refined, practiced, taught, produced. And after his death, the weight of his work became undeniable. His influence grew because mastery grows. It doesn't depend on the day's noise. That's what legacy is. It's what remains when the attention moves on. Now let's bring it back to you in a way that's uncomfortable but useful. The desire to be seen can make you cut corners. It can make you rush. It can make you choose the flashy option instead of the effective one. Quiet mastery corrects that because it gives you a deeper reward, becoming better. And becoming better is the only kind of success that can't be taken from you. So here's the real practice. Stop asking, how do I look? Start asking, how am I building? Stop asking, do they notice? Start asking, did I do the rep? Stop asking, is this impressive? Start asking, is this honest? If, then for this point, if you catch yourself craving attention, then don't punish yourself for it. Just redirect it. Use that craving as a signal that you need a deeper win. Close the performance loop and open the practice loop. Do one quiet rep, something that builds mastery. 10 minutes of training, one focused work block, one page, one skill drill. Let the reward come from doing, not from being seen. And here's the question to carry with you. If the world stopped watching tomorrow, would you still become the man you respect? 8. The unshakable mindset, becoming unstoppable through silent success. Let me ask you something that cuts straight to the core. When life hits you, when people misunderstand you, when progress feels slow, when you're tired, when you're alone with your doubts, what actually holds you up? Is it your motivation, or is it your mindset? Because motivation is unstable. It comes and goes like weather. But mindset, real mindset, is what stays when the weather changes. And the reason silent success makes you unshakable is simple. It forces you to build internal support instead of external support. It trains you to rely on what you control, not what you hope other people will give you. Stoicism is basically a training ground for this. The Stoics didn't teach confidence as a feeling. They taught confidence as a discipline. Epictetus would tell you that freedom is knowing exactly where your power begins and ends. Your choices, your actions, your judgments, and refusing to waste your life trying to control what was never yours. The unshakable mindset is built when you stop arguing with reality and start working with it. Most people don't break because life is too hard. They break because their mind is too reactive. They take everything personally. They turn every delay into a verdict. Every criticism becomes a wound. Every rejection becomes a story about their worth. And that story drains them more than the event itself. Silent success changes that because it teaches you emotional control through repetition. When you're working quietly, you get used to not being rewarded immediately. You get used to the invisible days. You get used to building without applause. And that does something powerful to your psychology. It removes your dependency on outcomes. It makes you process-focused. And a process-focused man is hard to stop because the process is always available. Even on a bad day, you can still do the rep. That's why quiet discipline is unstoppable. It doesn't need perfect conditions. It doesn't need the world to agree. It doesn't need to feel amazing. It just continues. Marcus Aurelius wrote about returning to the task like a man returning to duty, not like a victim, not like someone hoping the mood comes back. He would remind himself that he was built to act with reason, to do his work, to remain steady. And that steadiness wasn't a personality, it was a practice. You can build that same practice. And it starts by understanding one thing: an unshakable mindset is not a mind that never gets hit. It's a mind that recovers quickly. You'll still feel doubt, you'll still feel anger, you'll still feel fear, but you won't live inside them. You'll observe them, extract what's useful, and return to your mission. That return is everything. A lot of men get stuck because they treat emotions like commands. I feel tired, so I stop. I feel offended, so I react. I feel bored, so I escape. They don't realize they're training themselves to be controlled. And then they wonder why they can't stay consistent. Stoicism flips this. Emotions are signals, not orders. If you feel tired, you adjust your strategy, but you don't abandon your mission. If you feel offended, you check your ego, but you don't surrender your peace. If you feel bored, you refine your focus, but you don't run back to distraction. That's unshakable. Now, I want to connect this directly to silent success, because it's not just a vibe, it's a real advantage. Silent success removes the drama that makes people fragile. When you're loud, every setback becomes public. Every delay feels embarrassing. Every change of plan feels like a failure because people are watching. But when you're quiet, you can move like a strategist. You can test, adapt, rebuild, and nobody has access to your emotional process. That privacy creates resilience. It gives you space to be human without collapsing. And resilience is what makes you unstoppable. Let me give you a historical picture of this mindset. In the 19th century, Charles Darwin spent years, quiet years, working on the ideas that would later become On the Origin of Species. He didn't rush to announce it early. He observed, collected evidence, refined his thinking, stayed with it. And that's what most people don't understand. The work that changes the world often looks like silence for a long time. It looks like slow patience, deep focus, and stubborn consistency. That's what unshakable looks like when it's real. Now bring it down to your level, because your life needs the same structure. If you want an unshakable mindset, you need to practice two things daily: control and return. Control means you don't let your impulses run your mouth or your schedule. Return means no matter what happens, you come back to your standards. That's it. And the beautiful thing is, this makes you unstoppable without needing aggression. You don't have to be loud. You don't have to prove. You just keep showing up. That's terrifying to people who live off drama because you become unmovable. Then for this point, if something throws you off today, someone disrespects you, you feel doubt, you feel behind, then don't spiral and don't explain. Go silent. Reset your body with slow breathing. Then do one small action that proves your standards are still alive. One rep, one task, one disciplined choice. That's how you train the unshakable mindset. And here's the question to sit with tonight. What would happen to your life if nothing, no opinion, no delay, no mood, could stop you from doing the work quietly every day? 9. The power of patience, trusting the process in silence. Let's talk about the hardest part of building a real life. Not the work, not the discipline, not even the setbacks. The hardest part is the quiet time between effort and reward. That space where you're doing everything right. And nothing is giving you proof yet. No applause, no obvious results, no big moment that says, yes, keep going. That space is where most men quit, not because they're weak, because waiting without reassurance feels like walking in the dark. Your mind starts negotiating. Maybe this isn't working. Maybe I'm wasting time. Maybe I'm not built for this. And the problem isn't the goal. The problem is impatience trying to protect you from uncertainty. Stoicism doesn't remove uncertainty. It teaches you how to live inside it without collapsing. Marcus Aurelius would keep reminding himself that nature works in its own time. Seeds don't become trees because you stare at them harder. They become trees because growth follows law. Slow law, quiet law, inevitable law. And a man who understands that stops demanding instant proof. He demands daily effort instead. That's patience. Not passive patience. Active patience. Active patience is not waiting. It's doing the work while staying emotionally calm about the timeline. This matters because impatience is the hidden killer of focus. When you're impatient, you start switching plans too fast. You start chasing shortcuts. You start trying to force outcomes. You start seeking validation to soothe the anxiety of not seeing results yet. And all of that creates noise. That noise drains your energy and makes your work messy. Silence makes patience easier because it reduces comparison. Comparison is gasoline on impatience. The moment you watch other people, you start feeling behind, even if you're not. You see someone's highlight, you compare it to your behind the scenes, and suddenly your progress feels small. The mind forgets that mastery is built in private. It forgets that everyone has a different timeline. It forgets that many fast wins are fragile wins. The Stoics would call comparison a trap because it places your peace in someone else's hands. Epictetus would say you're choosing to suffer if you're measuring your life by things you can't control. You can't control how quickly others grow. You can't control what they started with. You can't control what they hide. So why would you build your mood on that? Patience is you refusing that trap. It's you saying, my job is the process. And that's a powerful identity shift. Because when you become a process man, you're no longer easy to distract. You're not waiting for permission. You're not waiting for motivation. You're not waiting for results to make you feel real. The work itself becomes the proof. There's a story from history that shows this patience in its most raw form. Think of Ernest Shackleton and the Endurance Expedition in the early 1900s, when his ship was trapped and crushed by Antarctic ice. He didn't have a clean plan. He didn't have a fast rescue. What he had was patience under pressure, daily discipline, emotional control, and the ability to keep moving forward without visible reward. Day after day, he kept his men focused on routine, small tasks, clear roles, steady morale. That's what patience looks like when it becomes survival. Not hoping for a miracle, but building stability inside uncertainty. Now, your life may not be Antarctica, but the psychology is the same. You're building something, and the ice is the delay. The cold is the uncertainty. The silence is the lack of feedback. And the question becomes, can you keep doing the right thing without needing the world to reassure you every day? That's the power of patience, because patience is what turns discipline into results. Without patience, discipline becomes a short sprint. With patience, discipline becomes a life, and silence is the environment where patience grows best. When you stop announcing your timeline, you stop creating pressure. When you stop comparing your chapter 1 to someone else's chapter 20, you stop rushing. When you stop checking for validation every few hours, you stop interrupting your own growth. That creates deep momentum. Now, let's make this practical in a way you can actually use tomorrow. Most men break patience because they set goals but don't set time horizons. They want a new body in 2 weeks. They want a new income in a month. They want a new identity overnight. Then, when reality doesn't match their fantasy timeline, they feel discouraged. So instead of a timeline, choose a season. Give yourself a season of quiet work. A season where your job isn't to win, it's to build. A season where your only measurement is whether you showed up today. That's stoic, that's grounded, and it works. If then for this point, if you feel impatient, like you need proof right now, then don't chase proof. Return to the process. Choose one small, measurable action and do it. Then end the day with the calm statement, I did my part. That's patience turned into power. And here's the question I want you to sit with, because it reveals your maturity. Can you stay committed to your mission for 60 days, even if nobody sees it and nothing obvious changes yet? 10. The ultimate reward, building a life of quiet fulfillment. Let's slow down for a second, because this is where the whole conversation changes. Most people think the reward of working hard in silence is that one day you'll prove them wrong, that you'll shock everyone, that you'll finally be seen. And sure, sometimes that happens. But if that's your real goal, you're still living for the outside world. You're just using silence as a weapon instead of using it as a home. The ultimate reward is deeper than revenge, deeper than applause, deeper than getting your name mentioned in rooms you're not in. The ultimate reward is waking up and not feeling at war with yourself. It's living with a kind of quiet fulfillment that doesn't depend on attention. A life where you don't need to perform your worth. You don't need to chase approval. You don't need to prove your value in every conversation. You feel solid. You feel clean inside, and that is rare. That is wealth. Stoicism points toward this again and again, not happiness as constant pleasure, but peace as inner order. The Stoics believed the best life is the one where your actions match your values, because when your actions match your values, your mind becomes calmer. You stop splitting yourself in two, one version that talks, another that avoids, one version that dreams, another that quits, one version that wants respect, another that behaves in ways you don't respect. Quiet fulfillment is what happens when you stop betraying yourself. And this matters because the loud life is exhausting. If your identity is built on being seen, you never rest. You're always checking the scoreboard. You're always adjusting your behavior to protect your image. You're always trying to maintain a social position. That kind of life might look successful on the outside, but inside it's fragile, it's noisy, it's hungry. The quiet life is different. It's not small, it's strong. Because when you build in silence, you build a private foundation that supports you even when the world is unstable. You develop skills that don't disappear when trends change. You develop discipline that doesn't evaporate when motivation leaves. You develop self-trust, and self-trust is the deepest form of safety a man can have. Now, I want to make this practical, because quiet fulfillment can sound like a nice phrase, but it's actually made of specific choices. Quiet fulfillment is when you can sit alone without needing to escape yourself. It's when you can be with people without needing to impress them. It's when you can work without needing constant recognition. It's when you can be criticized without falling apart. It's when you can be praised without becoming addicted. That's freedom, and freedom is the real reward. Epictetus would say the goal isn't to get everything you want. The goal is to want what is wise and then live it. That's a different type of wealth. It means your happiness is not hostage to the outside world. It means your peace isn't rented from someone else's opinion. This is also why fulfillment grows when you simplify, when you focus on what matters and stop feeding what doesn't. A man who builds in silence often becomes less interested in noise across the board, less interested in drama, pointless arguments, comparison games, attention wars. He becomes more interested in quality, quality relationships, quality work, quality health, quality thoughts, quality habits. And that shift is not boring, it's powerful, because it creates a life that feels steady, a life that feels intentional, a life where you can breathe. Let me ground this in a real picture. Think of George Washington after the Revolutionary War. He could have clung to power. He could have made himself a permanent ruler. Many people expected that pattern, but he stepped away. He returned to Mount Vernon. That wasn't weakness. It was restraint. It was a kind of silent fulfillment. A man who didn't need to squeeze every ounce of attention and control out of life to feel significant. He understood that the deepest respect comes from self-control. And self-control is always quiet. Now bring it back to you. Quiet fulfillment doesn't mean you stop aiming high. It means you stop needing your goals to fix your emotions. You stop hoping success will heal your insecurity. You stop hoping money will erase your self-doubt. You stop hoping status will finally make you feel enough. Instead, you build enough inside you through discipline and alignment. Then success becomes something you enjoy, not something you desperately need. That's why it's the ultimate reward. It's not a trophy, it's a state. So here's the practice that turns this into reality. If, then for this point, if you catch yourself chasing approval, chasing a reaction, chasing the feeling of being seen, then return to your values and do one quiet act that aligns your life. 1. A disciplined choice, a boundary, a focus block, a workout, a kind action done privately, something that makes you respect yourself in the mirror. Because quiet fulfillment is built through small moments of integrity. And here's the question to end this point on, because it's the one that decides what kind of success you're chasing. If nobody ever celebrated your life, would you still choose a life you respect? 11. The art of self-reliance, becoming your own source of strength. Let me ask you a question that almost nobody wants to answer honestly. When you're tired, when you're discouraged, when something in life collapses, who do you become when no one shows up to save you? Because the truth is, there will be moments, real moments, where support is not available, not because people don't love you, but because they're busy, they're struggling too, or they simply can't understand the weight you're carrying. And if your strength depends on someone else constantly refilling it, you'll feel fragile. You'll feel like you're living on borrowed fuel. Self-reliance is not isolation. It's not, I don't need anyone. It's something more mature. It's, I can stand on my own feet, and I can still love people without needing them to hold me up. That is a powerful distinction. Stoicism is basically a blueprint for this. Epictetus, who went through hardship most people can't imagine, built his entire philosophy around one core truth. You always have access to your own mind. You always have access to choice. You always have access to response. And if you master that, you're never completely powerless. The art of self-reliance is learning to become your own safe place. Because a lot of men don't suffer only from problems. They suffer from the panic of not knowing how they'll handle problems alone. They don't trust themselves. They doubt their ability to endure discomfort. And that doubt becomes a background anxiety that follows them everywhere. Self-reliance removes that anxiety because it builds a quiet confidence. No matter what happens, I can handle myself. Now, here's where silence and hard work tie in perfectly. When you work in silence, you stop outsourcing your stability. You stop depending on external praise to feel like you're moving. You stop needing someone to understand your vision for you to keep going. You build a private relationship with your own standards. You become the kind of man who can look at the day, look at the task and say, even if nobody cares today, I care. I'm doing it. That's self-reliance. And it doesn't happen through hype. It happens through small, repeated acts of keeping your word. A man becomes his own source of strength when he proves to himself, over and over, that his commitment isn't a mood, it's a decision. There's a story from American history that captures this kind of inner strength in a way that's both harsh and inspiring. Frederick Douglass, born into slavery in the early 19th century, taught himself to read in secret, against a system designed to keep him powerless. There was no applause for that. No supportive audience, no motivational speeches. Just a man building his mind in silence, rep by rep, word by word, until his inner world became too strong to be controlled from the outside. That self-reliance in its pure form, building strength where nobody can take it from you. Now, you may not be facing something that extreme, but the principle is the same. You can train self-reliance in daily life by taking responsibility for your own energy, not in a harsh way, in a clean way. When you feel low, instead of waiting to be rescued by comfort, you learn to reset yourself. When you feel anxious, instead of running to distraction, you learn to ground your body and return to the next action. When you feel rejected, instead of begging for reassurance, you learn to give yourself respect through discipline. When you feel uncertain, instead of seeking someone's permission, you learn to take one step and create clarity through motion. This is why self-reliance and self-respect are linked. The more you rely on yourself, the more you respect yourself. The more you respect yourself, the less you tolerate living in ways that drain you. And this is also why it makes you calmer around people. You stop clinging, you stop chasing, you stop needing everyone to approve. You can enjoy relationships without turning them into emotional life support. That's freedom. Now let's make this usable immediately, because I want you to feel it, not just understand it. Pick one area of your life where you've been emotionally dependent, where you wait for encouragement, permission, or validation before you act. Then decide that today you'll become your own coach in that one area. Not with cheesy affirmations, with action. If, then for this point, if you feel yourself waiting for someone to motivate you, then become your own source. Do a small hard thing immediately, one that you can't talk your way out of. A cold shower for 30 seconds. A walk when you don't feel like it. 10 minutes of focused work with your phone away. One workout set. One uncomfortable conversation you've been avoiding. The goal isn't suffering. The goal is proof. Proof that you can move without being carried. And here's the question I want you to sit with as the day ends. If you had to build your life with no applause and no rescue, would you finally discover how strong you actually are? 12. The power of inner focus. Directing your energy where it truly matters. Let me bring you into a scene you probably know too well. You sit down to do something important. Work, study, training, planning your next move, and within minutes your mind is somewhere else. You're thinking about what someone said. You're replaying an old mistake. You're wondering how you look from the outside. You're checking your phone for a second. You're comparing your pace to someone else's highlight reel. And suddenly, the hour is gone. Nothing attacked you physically, nothing dramatic happened, but your energy was taken. That's the real battle for most men, not a lack of potential, a lack of inner focus. Stoicism treats focus like a form of respect. Respect for your time, respect for your mind, respect for the fact that your life is literally made out of what you pay attention to. Marcus Aurelius would return to this idea over and over. You become like what you dwell on. If your attention is scattered, your life feels scattered. If your attention is steady, your life starts to feel steady. So, inner focus is not a productivity trick. It's a way of living. And working hard in silence makes it easier because it reduces the number of voices in your head. When you're not trying to impress anyone, you don't need to monitor how you're perceived. When you're not announcing your plans, you don't need to keep checking for reactions. When you're not arguing with people, you don't carry arguments into bed with you. Silence simplifies your inner world, and a simpler inner world is easier to focus. Here's the uncomfortable truth. Your attention is either building your future or feeding your anxiety. There's no neutral. When you direct your energy toward what truly matters, your health, your craft, your character, your relationships, your mission, you start feeling power again. Not loud power, quiet control, because your days stop slipping through your fingers. Epictetus would say that you don't control what happens, but you control what you do with what happens. Inner focus is exactly that. It's you choosing where your mind goes, not letting it be dragged around by every mood, every headline, every opinion, every memory. And I want to make this practical with something simple. Most men think they have a time problem. They don't. They have an attention problem. You don't need more hours. You need fewer leaks. Leaks look like doom scrolling. They look like random conversations that drain you. They look like carrying imaginary arguments in your head. They look like checking for validation. They look like thinking about what you should have said last week. Each leak feels small, but it adds up into a life that feels exhausted and unfocused. Now, I'm going to connect this to a real example that makes inner focus feel less abstract. In the late 19th century, Nikola Tesla was known for his intense ability to concentrate, sometimes for long hours, on visualizing inventions in detail before building them. Whether you admire his life choices or not, his mental discipline is a clear picture of what focus can do. A man with focused attention can create outcomes that scattered people call luck. Because focus multiplies effort, and you don't need Tesla-level genius to benefit from the same principle. You just need to aim your mind like a beam instead of letting it spread like fog. Here's the shift that changes everything. Stop trying to focus on your whole life. Focus on the next right action. The mind gets overwhelmed when it tries to hold everything at once, so it escapes, it scrolls, it procrastinates, it numbs. But when you shrink the target to one clear action, focus becomes natural. One page, one task, one workout set, one honest conversation, 1 hour of deep work. This is what the Stoics mean when they talk about the present moment. Not a poetic idea, a tactical one. The present moment is the only place where action exists. The past is memory. The future is imagination. The present is where you can actually build. And the more you practice returning to the present, the more unstoppable you become. Not because you're perfect, but because you're consistent. Now let's train it in a way that fits your life tomorrow. If, then for this point, if you feel your mind scatter, then don't fight it with anger. Don't shame yourself. Just redirect your attention with a physical anchor. Breathe slowly and count 5 breaths. Put your feet on the ground. Then choose one task and commit to 10 minutes of clean effort with your phone out of reach. 10 minutes. That's it. 10 minutes done daily becomes a different life. And here's the question I want you to sit with, because it reveals what you truly value. If your life is made of what you pay attention to, what are you building right now with your attention without even realizing it? 13. The resilience of the silent achiever, thriving in the face of adversity. Let's be real. If life only rewarded effort when things were easy, everybody would win. The real test isn't whether you can work when you feel strong. The test is whether you can stay steady when something hits you. Stress, loss, rejection, embarrassment, betrayal, failure. Something that shakes your routine and tries to pull you back into chaos. And here's what I've noticed about the men who make it through those seasons. They don't always have the best luck. They don't always have the best support. They don't always feel confident, but they have resilience. Quiet resilience. The kind that doesn't announce itself. It just keeps moving. That's the silent achiever. The silent achiever isn't the man who never struggles. He's the man who doesn't turn struggle into an identity. He refuses to let pain become a personality. He refuses to let hardship become an excuse to abandon his standards. And that refusal is what makes him rare. Stoicism has a sharp way of framing adversity. Marcus Aurelius wrote about obstacles becoming fuel, how what stands in the way can become the way. Not because adversity is good, but because reality is unavoidable and you have two choices: fight it emotionally and drain yourself, or accept it intelligently and use it. The resilient man doesn't waste energy arguing with what happened. He asks one question: what does this require from me now? That question is the difference between collapse and growth. Because adversity often creates a trap. It makes you reactive. It makes you loud. It makes you desperate to be understood. It makes you want to tell everyone your story, to prove you're hurting, to justify your anger, to win sympathy. And listen, sometimes you do need support. Sometimes you should speak. But the silent achiever has a discipline. He doesn't let his emotions run the show. He doesn't let the chaos outside create chaos inside. He keeps his work clean, and that's why he thrives. One reason silence helps in adversity is simple. It protects your recovery. When you're going through something hard, you need all your energy. You need it for healing, for thinking clearly, for making good decisions, for staying consistent. But if you turn the hardship into a public performance, you spend your energy managing people, explaining, updating, defending, responding. It becomes another job, and it usually doesn't make you feel better. It just makes you more exposed. Silent resilience says, "I will heal privately. I will rebuild privately. I will come back stronger without needing to narrate every step." This is the kind of resilience you see in real history. Think about Nelson Mandela, decades in prison, isolated from normal life, forced into a long, brutal waiting period. And yet, he didn't let bitterness become his identity. He trained himself to stay disciplined in thought, in emotional control, in patience. When he emerged, it wasn't loud rage that made him powerful. It was steadiness. It was an ability to carry pain without becoming poison. That kind of resilience is not accidental. It's practiced. And again, your adversity might not look like prison. It might look like losing your job, a breakup, a health scare, a period of depression, a setback that messes with your confidence. But the principle is the same. The resilient man keeps one part of his life stable no matter what. The part he can control, and that stable part becomes a lifeline. Sometimes that lifeline is training. You don't feel okay, but you still take the walk. Sometimes it's work. You're stressed, but you still do the next task. Sometimes it's discipline with your mouth. You're angry, but you don't lash out. Sometimes it's sleep. The world is chaotic, but you protect your recovery. These small acts look unimpressive, but they are the backbone of resilience. They tell your nervous system, we're still safe, we're still in control, we're still moving. And over time, that builds a deep psychological strength. You stop fearing adversity as much because you've proven you can survive it without losing yourself. That's the real win. Not avoiding pain, but staying you inside pain. Now, I want to give you a practical way to live this without turning it into a motivational poster. If, then, for this point. If life knocks you off your routine, then don't try to rebuild your entire life overnight. Choose one non-negotiable anchor and protect it. 1. Sleep schedule. Morning walk. Workout. Reading. Deep work block. Clean nutrition. Pick one anchor and keep it no matter what. That anchor will stabilize your identity while everything else is unstable. And here's the question I want you to sit with, because it can change how you face hard seasons. When adversity arrives, do you become louder and more chaotic, or do you become quieter and more disciplined? 14. The discipline of daily execution. Turning effort into excellence. Can I be honest with you? Most people don't lack talent. They lack follow-through. They have big intentions, strong emotions, and a lot of one-day energy. But when it's time to execute today, they hesitate, they negotiate, they delay, they wait for a better mood, and then they wonder why their life feels stuck in the same chapter. Daily execution is what separates the man who dreams from the man who becomes, and the reason it fits perfectly with working in silence is that execution doesn't need witnesses. It needs repetition. It needs standards. It needs you showing up, even when nobody is there to praise the effort. Stoicism treats execution like duty, not duty as a heavy burden, but duty as clarity. Marcus Aurelius would ask himself, basically, what is my role right now? And then he'd do it. He didn't romanticize it. He didn't wait for inspiration. He returned to action because action was the only place his values could exist. That's a lesson a lot of men forget. Your values are not what you believe. Your values are what you do. So daily execution is you turning your identity into behavior. It's you making your character visible through action, not through speeches. Now, excellence is just execution done with care over time. It's not a sudden upgrade. It's not a personality trait. It's a habit. Most men think excellence is something you achieve, like you arrive there one day and now you're excellent. But excellence is more like brushing your teeth. It's daily, it's boring, it's consistent. It's you refusing to let your standards collapse because you had a stressful day. And that's why the silent worker often becomes excellent without even realizing it. Because while others are chasing big moments, he's stacking small wins. Let me make this concrete. When you write one page a day, you become a writer. When you lift a few times a week for months, you become strong. When you practice a skill daily, you become valuable. When you handle your emotions with discipline repeatedly, you become hard to provoke. None of that requires a dramatic transformation. It requires daily execution. Here's the real challenge, though. Daily execution feels too small to the ego. The ego wants intensity. It wants an event. It wants to feel heroic. But daily execution is anti-heroic. It says, do the simple thing again. And this is where a lot of men lose their future, because they underestimate small actions. But small actions don't stay small. They train your nervous system to respect routine. They train your mind to trust you. They train your identity to become stable. And stability is what produces excellence. There's also another layer. Daily execution is a form of self-respect. When you execute daily, you stop betraying yourself. You stop making promises you can't keep. You stop living in fantasy. You stop telling yourself stories to avoid discomfort. And the more you stop betraying yourself, the calmer your mind gets. Your inner voice becomes less chaotic because it starts believing you. That is a big deal. A lot of anxiety is simply the mind not trusting the person driving the body. You say you'll do things and you don't. You say you'll change and you don't. So your mind becomes skeptical. It becomes restless. It starts panicking because it feels like you're not reliable. Daily execution fixes that, slowly but surely. Now, I want to tie this to a real story that shows how daily execution becomes excellence over years. In the early 20th century, Babe Ruth is remembered for home runs. But what people forget is the grind, the constant practice, the repetition, the boring fundamentals that build a legendary swing. Greatness wasn't the spotlight moment. It was what happened long before the spotlight. Excellence is built in quiet rooms, empty gyms, early mornings, late nights, and ordinary days. And in your life, it's the same. The big results people admire later come from daily execution nobody saw. So, how do you apply this without burning out? You stop trying to execute perfectly. You execute consistently. You choose a minimum standard, a baseline, a daily dose. and you protect it. On your best days, you can go beyond it, but you never drop below it. That's how you become dangerous. Not loud, not flashy, dangerous because you're reliable. If then for this point, if you feel resistance before doing the work, then don't negotiate with your feelings. Set a timer for 10 minutes and start. Just start. 10 minutes is your gateway. Most of the time, once you begin, your mind stops fighting. And even if it doesn't, you still win because you executed anyway. And here's the question I want you to end the day with. If your life was judged only by what you execute daily, what kind of life are you building right now? 15. The legacy of silent success, leaving a mark without making noise. Let's land this in a place that feels real, not motivational, not dramatic, just true. At the end of the day, what do you actually want? Do you want to be talked about? Or do you want to be respected? Do you want attention? Or do you want impact? Because those are not the same thing. Attention is loud and temporary. Impact is quiet and long. A lot of men spend years trying to be seen. They chase moments that look powerful. They want to leave an impression. But what they don't realize is this. Impressions fade fast. People are busy. People move on. Today's wow becomes tomorrow's forgotten scroll. Legacy is different. Legacy is what remains when you're not in the room. It's what stays alive in other people because of how you lived, not how you performed. Stoicism points directly to this kind of legacy. Marcus Aurelius had this relentless clarity about time. Everything passes, and your reputation is a fragile thing to build your life around. So what should you build around? Virtue, character, duty, integrity, work, calm, strength. The things that don't depend on the crowd. That's why the legacy of silent success is so powerful. It's built out of what's stable. And the funny thing is, men who build this way usually don't think about legacy every day. They think about standards. They think about doing the right thing when it's inconvenient. They think about building something that lasts. Health, skill, family, character, craft. They think about becoming reliable. And reliability is one of the most underrated forms of greatness. Because a man who is reliable becomes a rock in people's lives. He doesn't talk big. He shows up. He doesn't promise constantly. He delivers consistently. He doesn't chase respect. He earns it quietly. That creates a mark. Now, here's what silent success looks like when it becomes a legacy in real life. It looks like your son copying your discipline without you ever lecturing him. It looks like people trusting you because you don't betray your word. It looks like your relationships becoming calmer because you're not reactive. It looks like your work being high quality because you didn't rush it for applause. It looks like your name being associated with strength, not drama. That's leaving a mark without making noise. And I want you to notice how different that is from what the world sells you. The world sells you visibility. It sells you personal branding. It sells you the idea that if you're not being noticed, you're losing. Stoicism would say the opposite. If you're chasing being noticed, you're being controlled. Controlled by other people's attention, other people's moods, other people's standards, other people's definitions of success. Silent success is you refusing that control. It's you choosing to be the author of your own life, not a performer in somebody else's theater. Now let me give you a real historical picture of this kind of legacy. Quiet, but lasting. Harriet Tubman didn't build a legacy with speeches. She built it with action. She moved in silence, literally, through danger, through uncertainty. Returning again and again to lead people to freedom through the Underground Railroad in the mid-19th century. That wasn't a performance. That was courage made practical. And because it was practical, it lasted. It became a mark in history. You don't need to be Tubman to understand the lesson. Legacy comes from repeated acts of courage and integrity, not from noise. In your world, your version might be quieter. It might be you rebuilding your health after years of neglect. It might be you becoming a disciplined father. It might be you mastering a skill that changes your financial future. It might be you breaking a family pattern of anger and chaos. It might be you learning to be calm under pressure so your home becomes peaceful. Those are silent victories, and they matter more than applause. Now, this is where I want to challenge you gently but clearly. If you want a legacy of silent success, you have to stop living for the short-term hit. You have to stop trading your future for instant comfort. You have to stop making decisions based on what feels good today and start making decisions based on what you will respect 10 years from now. That's the Stoic lens, future respect. And when you live that way, you start building a life that feels quiet, strong, and fulfilled. Then for this final point, if you feel the urge to chase attention, then ask yourself one question. Will this matter in 5 years? If the answer is no, return to your standards. Do one action that builds your legacy. Train your body, sharpen your mind, build your craft, protect your family, keep your word, master your emotions. One quiet act every day. And here's the last question I want to leave you with, because it's the kind of question that can change a man's whole direction. When people think of you years from now, will they remember your noise? Or will they remember your strength? If you really sit with everything we talked about, you start to see the pattern. Silence isn't just not talking. Silence is a decision to stop leaking your life. It's a decision to stop spending your best energy on proving, explaining, performing, or reacting. And the moment you stop leaking, you start building. Because focusing on yourself is not selfish when it's done with character. It's responsibility. It's you choosing to become stable so your life becomes stable. It's you choosing to be disciplined so your future has something solid to stand on. And working hard in silence is the cleanest way to do it, because it removes the noise that turns simple effort into drama. I want you to remember this. The strongest men are not always the loudest men. The strongest men are often the ones who can stay consistent without applause, stay calm without validation, and keep executing even when nobody understands what they're building yet. That's not a personality type. That's a trained mindset. So here's what I want you to do after this ends. Not tomorrow, not one day, but soon. Choose one thing you've been talking about more than you've been doing. One. Then go quiet about it. Don't announce it. Don't hint at it. Don't seek approval for it. Just build it. Put a simple daily standard on it. A minimum you can keep even on a bad day, and protect it like it's your future. Because it is. And when doubts show up, and they will, don't argue with them, don't explain, don't spiral. Return to the rep, return to the standard, return to the next right action. That's what makes a man unshakable. 1% today. Pick one quiet action you'll repeat daily for the next 7 days. One small rep that builds your body, your mind, or your craft. And do it without telling anyone. Because when you finally look back, the real flex won't be what you said. It'll be what you became. In the silence.